I went in to get the beers today. I was like, oh yeah. And even though you said you didn't want to do three, so I went and looking at it. Oh yeah, and it was the first one I saw. So I was like, okay, there it is. Yeah, it's the crazy Angus.
Yeah.
And we've done the crazy Angus a few times, and it's quite good. And then I thought, oh wait a minute, did he mean the crazy Angus or did he mean the black Angus? And I wasn't sure. And I was like, well, we'll better get both.
So, as somebody else who had four out of a six pack, I got two Cerberuses and two Crazy Anguses.
Okay. I am Ross, and again, Ian is away. He's in fact watching us live from an airport in England, but I am here joined by James, and together, not in Heathrow Airport, the two of us are attempting to drink Nova Scotia dry. In Heathrow Airport, Ian is attempting to drink England dry. Your background just changed wildly.
Yeah, I tried to blur it, and then I was like, oh, this is bad. Let's not do that.
Mine automatically went to floating, I don't know.
Discord heads.
Grape TVs.
They're Discord logos.
I mean, potato, potato. Grape TV, this, that. Yeah, we're driving something slightly different. Just, I don't know. I've tried to get Ian into the Discord thing, but honestly, having him click on a Teams link every time, that was
yeah,
hard enough.
That.
So getting him to make the switch sense. might be taxing. Regardless, the story goes, and I put this in the update that I think the first time you were here, I got you to drink like some kind of stanky blonde ales, and one of them, I think that was the coffee blonde night, and it was just gross. And then you were back again, and for some reason because you wanted to try that Donaire beer, so we had the Donaire beer that night. And then the next time I invited you back, I said, you got to come back for the night that we have Molson Canadian and Keith's and Olin. And I'm like, I've been kind of cruel to you, I have to admit. And I thought about it from last week when I had my friend David on with Ian away. I told him, oh, pick what you want, you know, have something tasty that you like. And I thought, oh, wait, I've never actually done that with James. I was just telling him what we're doing. No, we had that one night with John where we all found.
Yeah, we had a night
tasty.
With John. That was and the last time I was on was Stouts, and that wasn't so bad.
Wasn't it? Oh, okay. Well, whatever.
I mean, I forgot. The Golden Stout was terrible.
Yes.
It was really bad.
Yeah. It's again with these
but people. that wasn't like I was trying. I was like, oh, I'm gonna buy some stouts, and like I was trying to buy weird stouts, but I was like, it wasn't just weird beer.
Yeah, you know, pushing the envelope, trying the interesting stuff, because there's lots of interesting stuff. I'll tell you the best story going right now. I saw an Instagram post from Bay of Fundy Brewing just down the street here, and they have their summer beer, their summer sour, is a kelp goes.
Hmm.
And I went, that sounds disgusting, but you're damn straight I'm going to try that. Absolutely,
yeah,
I will try drinking that.
See, that's like, it sounds weird enough that I'm almost back around to like, it's probably good.
Well,
I'm not 100% there, but like,
almost. I've had some that taste accidentally salty, and I feel like a kelp goes... It's going to be salty, right? It's just going to have that weird kind of a, like a saltwater taffy beer. I don't even know how to describe that. But that is then, and this is now, and you went to the NSLC to see what was available, and we used to hate this, because when you'd go, there'd always be a bunch of new IPAs, and we used to go, oh, boo, where's all the interesting stuff? But now we're like, ooh, a new IPA, ooh, let's try this.
I genuinely had he's not going to like these, then I was like, wait, no, now is the time. I'm going to create an IPA night. Yep.
And again, we mentioned... early, because you've also got the vice principal. So of the two, you also picked up the vice principal. And I said, we haven't done the summer day IPA. So that's first. Yours is straight. Mine is backwards because stupid Discord. I could maybe flip that. I'm not going to do it right now. Regardless.
It's only backwards to you.
Except I'm capturing what's to me. And so what's going out. See,
right.
I'm celebrating the 0/1 anniversary of Extra Life on my shirt here, but that's okay because the video isn't important. It's all about the podcast, and because we have one viewer or one listener to our podcast, and like I don't know, 12 subscribers on YouTube or something like that. Honestly.
That's not bad.
The weirdest thing, the weirdest thing is the TikTok subscribers.
What?
I've got 203 TikTok followers. And one of our videos from a little while ago, one of the excerpts that I put up there, I sometimes put it on, 3,500 views on one of
them.
That's
like more views than our entire YouTube channel.
Pretty much,
got
yes.
in 5 years.
So the shorts seem to do a little bit better. I get a couple of likes on things. So I've posted across the internet talk. But regardless of that, we are a mild phenom. We're not quite viral yet, but you never know when something's going to happen. People are going to start popping up. First of all, pop it in at 5.3% alcohol is the Summer Day IPA, a session IPA from Schoolhouse Brewery down in Windsor, Nova Scotia. We had some Schoolhouse last week because that was our spotlight on Windsor. But hey, why not? We'll have some more because this one wasn't part of it yet.
I am glad then because I did do a quick. I'm like, no, I haven't heard Ross do this one yet. Forgetting that I only listen to the podcast, which is several months behind.
Cough.
Yep. So,
thanks. Good shout out there to my inadequacies and ineptitude.
Well, no, it was more just like I didn't even think to check with you. I was just like, oh, I know what he's done. Oh, wait. No, that's from the past.
Oh, poop right, sauce.
I'm cracking it.
I've cracked it. I forgot to read the side of it. On the side, does say, what better way to embrace summer than summer break than with a cold pint of our Summer Day IPA? This refreshing and light-bodied beer is big on hops flavor and bears the hazy coloring and citrusy aroma of a tall glass of lemonade, complete with pleasantly mouth-puckering finish, the ideal partner for those warm days at the beach and no alarm clocks in sight. Goes great with picture of a fish, picture of the sun octopus from Super Mario 3, and picture of a turkey. So, yeah.
The turkey picture is something.
There's something about the legs that make it seem like it was killed recently. I don't know what it is. Like, it's still trying
They're
to
just
dance.
A little too... Let's see if I can make this happen.
Asymmetrical?
I was going to say erect.
Maybe... It's a pretty plump turkey, so I think if you get a juicy turkey...
I think it's a chicken, to be honest.
There's a good question. Do you read your beer, and do you decide that it goes well with turkey or with chicken?
This is not a great idea. Let's pour a beer over top of a keyboard.
Where have you been for 4 years? This is all we do.
Yeah, but I try not to be you.
And, you know, aside from the fact that we both... We're late tonight because we were both putting our kids to bed while both of our wives were away at rehearsals each. We are doing things quite a bit differently. That was just a
smells good.
Funny little quinky dink. It does smell good. Now, usually, because we've had a few session IPAs, and usually a session IPA isn't hazy like that, like thick, like juice. Usually it's one of the clear ones, and it's a certain way. I'm going to try to get as much in here as I can. Is this it? Is it going to be a go-to? I also appreciate, because a lot of the session IPAs, they're down to like a 4.2 or sometimes even a 3.8, and they're all very sessionable. And everyone's all kind of, drink three and drive home kind of situation. Where I'm like, I'm already at home. Give me something with some strength to it, please.
I love your pursuit of the dollar per alcohol by volume. I am continuing to think about the other option that I floated to you, which was a near beer episode, and I do want to come on for a near beer episode.
Ian has also been pushing for that because he keeps saying, do you know what tastes really good from the supermarket? And I believe my answer is usually, I don't care. But yeah, you guys are gonna do it to me, so it'll happen. Maybe that'll
The trick will be finding some local stuff. Because it seems like the big players have managed to replicate their flavors reliably.
Okay.
But I don't know. I've had a couple of smaller places, and they're real hit or miss.
For like a 0%, you know, or 0.5, one would be the max.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I thought it was mostly, the big players like Heineken, Budweiser, you know, just everybody in... Is there a low... I don't remember what the other one is. All right. Obviously, lots of Lots of research is in order here. Light-bodied. Extremely light-bodied. It tastes, I don't know how to say it. It tastes like there's air in it. It tastes floaty. There's a whole lot of nothing. But at the same time, that is an authentic hazy IPA flavor to it. So it's doing it exactly what it's saying it is.
Yep. It gives me a mouthfeel that reminds me of eating those like vanilla wafer crackers in the summer.
Where it's there and then I'm getting it at the front of my mouth and yep. I know it's going down my throat, but between the front of my mouth, like when it gets to the back of my mouth, it is already just tap water. Like the flavor has gone.
It's very unsettling, but it's true.
Interesting. Yes. And for a 5.3, could you sit down and have two of these out on a patio? If someone said, hey, would you like another? And it was down to the low part, I would say, heck yes, I'll have another of those. That was phenomenal.
Yeah, that's to your old test. That's going to be keep it coming.
Yeah. Mine's not even ice cold.
Mine was pretty cold, which is I really should have thought of. But
I feel like I would like that even more. Ice cold, because it's pretty good, coolish. It's
I'm not getting the what did the can say? The tart, the pucker,
the
mouth puckering, the mouth puckering finish.
Yeah,
I'm not really getting that.
I'm getting zero finish.
I'm getting a little tang at the front, but I don't know. That might just be that it's cold.
Aroma of a cold glass of lemonade.
It does give me a little bit of lemonade, not like sweet tea or like brisk lemonade, but like real lemonade.
Oh, okay.
Like lemon, as opposed to mostly sugar.
More lemon than aid.
I like that.
The light-bodied beer, I feel, is the thing that it is really holding to the most. Like I don't know that I've tasted anything as light-bodied as this ever. And most things that try to come this light-bodied are flavorless. So this is there is a good amount of flavor up front.
Oh, yeah. No, they've got the flavor. It's got almost, like, it makes me almost think grapefruit.
Mmm. This is really, really tasty and good. Oh, here we go. Canada Beer Cup. Coupe de Beer. A bronze medal. Okay. It won a bronze medal at the Canada Beer Cup.
Nice.
Which one's that? I'm not entirely certain. I should know. There's probably a few competitions. Canada Beer Cup 2025. Present awards and a bunch of things. Entries now. No, I don't want entries. Who won? Results. Oh, maybe the results from 2024, I guess? Dagard
Coils. Yeah, it's not going to be on the 2025 one.
Schoolhouse. Summer Day IPA. Category 9E. Hazy Pale Ale. New England IPA. Hazy Pale Ale. It took home bronze. Now, it was in Windsor. So, I can't search for NS because... Let's see. Tanner and Company took home silver with their alt. Oh, the alt beer is so good. Two Rivers Baltic Porter from Tatamagush. I don't think I've had that. Garrison's Hefeweizen. I didn't enjoy that at all. Patricia's Irish Stout's pretty good. Propeller's Dippa. Really? All right. And then there's that Garrison's Mango Dragon Fruit Sour. Are you kidding? It doesn't taste like anything. Saltwater Goes from Church. Tatamagusha salt. There's a few Tatamagusha I haven't had in a while. Of course, we haven't driven there for a while. Oh, the Tanner and Company Silva. I'm so glad Tanner and Company is Danny Tanner's getting out there because his beers are outstanding. You need to get further down. It's just in Chester Basin. It's actually probably closer to you than to me, but
oh yeah, no, it's not far at all.
Excellent, excellent stuff down in that direction. However, we are talking about Schoolhouse. I'm happy that Schoolhouse keeps coming out with new stuff. Pretty regularly. Like the peach double IPA, probably, you know, not super recent, but then they had an oh my god, what was the one that we just had last week? What's wrong with me? It was the good. Didn't put it in here. Fantastic. The Belgian ale? Yes. Yeah, because it was the double. No, that's wrong. I got to look back at the picture later, but that's completely incorrect. But we did have a new to me schoolhouse. And whenever I go in, they do random out. And you know, the staff room stout comes back. They used to have a Checkers Porter, but I haven't seen that in quite some time. I'm excited because I think the Cerberus is also kind of hazy, but maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm not remembering it correctly. Good old hazy beer night. I'm into it. So the juice edition, and it's mostly citrusy, but I think I'm just getting so much out of this citrusy, juicy kind of thing that it's filling the gap that I think I miss Radlers. I miss the popularity of Radlers. And the funny thing is IPAs have started slowly going that way, and they kind of gave up on Radlers and said, what if we just poured a Radler into the IPA and mixed it all together and then had that? And I'm like, oh, so you want your Radler to be extremely strong or your IPA to be Radler tasting? I'm fine with that. Because I don't know if I've told you about my vague research into what a Radler is. They were predominantly made for European cyclists. Like that was what you drank when you had either just begun or just finished the Tour de France or you're out on your bike.
Interesting. My enjoyment of Radlers started 6 years ago when I spent too many weeks in Madrid for work. And the local restaurant / bar outside of my hotel, I would go down and I would order a cerveza or a con limon. Cerveza was just beer.
Mm.
Came in a nice icy glass with you know how you do a fancy rim on your pumpkin beers?
Oh yeah.
They rim their glasses with like shaved ice because it's like 40 degrees because it's July in Spain. Huh. So the cerveza is just beer.
Mm.
Standard beer. And what was like an ale.
Con limon?
Yeah, it's beer with lemon and it's real good. It's like a lemon Radler.
Okay.
And to be clear, you would hate them. They're like 2.5% or something stupid.
They're for cyclists.
Well, that's it. We were like, oh, we have like 4 hours to kill until the museum's open and it's 40 degrees and nowhere to be. So like, we'll sit on this patio and drink beers all afternoon.
Yeah. You're saying you wouldn't do that with 7.5% double IPAs?
No,
then go to the museum.
I just realized our next beer is 7.5%, and I'm like, that thing's gonna kick my ass.
What I want you to think of while you're drinking that is having one, you know, popping one of those down in about a half hour's time, and then a second one for in another 45 minutes, and then walking and exploring the museum.
Nope, I'm too old for that.
I'm older than you.
Yeah, so it might be.
And by many stretches of the imagination, I am also far less responsible than you. So that may have something to do with it, where I just, I'm a bit of the... There's got to be a better description for it, because it's not whimsical. I'm not, caution to the wind artsy. It really just is a lazy childishness, I think, that sort of drives me most of the time, where I'm sort of, at any one point, I say to myself, will this taste like candy? No? Adjust it. And that's my diagram, one of those yes-no models where you go from square to the next and you go yes out one side and no down to the other side.
Oh, like a flow diagram?
I guess so. Probably just a generic flow diagram.
Yeah. I think that's right.
What's the ER diagram? That's something different. That's relationship.
That's an entity relationship diagram.
Yes, which that's back and forth. You would go back and forth. But like, yeah.
Well, that is a type of flow diagram. Like, it's the same stuff, but ER is a specialization.
But it's a subcategory.
I think they're the same. I don't know. We've entered the era of confidently incorrect, so I'm not going to bother looking it up.
Okay.
I did confirm that flow diagram is the what you were imagining.
Sweet. But you were confidently correct with that one enough that that didn't really matter. Oh, there's floaties. No. Look at these delicious little floaties at the bottom. That's the good stuff. Oh, or you got the sea monkeys at the bottom of the
I have no sea monkeys.
You don't? Oh.
No sea monkeys here. Are you going to finish it?
I'm thinking about going back to it just in case, but it
yeah, no, I've left a couple of fingers of mine.
Body-wise, I was certain that I was not even going to try to compare the two. Body-wise, they're incomparable. But honestly, flavor-wise, I think it would be an interesting attempt. I'm not comparing. It'll be like comparing apples with oranges.
Oh, yeah, because you've had the Cerberus already.
I vaguely remember it. And I compared it favorably to Propeller Galaxy. And the main reason I compare things to Galaxy is because it's so available. When you go into restaurants, there's not always a lot of craft beer on. You know, they've got, we've got Molson, we've got Rickards. But there's almost always a Propeller. And they've usually got the Pilsner and the Galaxy are available. And I'm like, Galaxy, bring it here. Yes, please. Because I had... Well, Jamie convinced me that it was good, and I drank
The Galaxy is my, like, local version of a Rickards Red.
Yeah.
Where, like, no matter where I go, I can probably get a Rickards Red.
Yeah. Unless you're locally, in the tap room for the, you know, the place that you are getting. Yeah.
Like, but then, like, at least in the Maritimes, I can mostly always get a Galaxy.
Yeah. And which is why I was comparing this one. So... Cerberus, we will say the Cerberus, the organic American IPA at 7.5% ABV, coming in from Big Spruce Brewing, despite the fact that having looked this up online, it is a limited release annual collaboration between Big Spruce, Tatamagoosh, and North Brewing, hence the three dog heads of Cerberus, and I thought that's very clever, but here's what it says. Cerberus is a three-headed hellhound of organic American-style India Pale Ales. Abundantly bitter, deeply aromatic, Cerberus combines late-edition kettle hops with a copious lip-smacking dry hop for a balanced complexity that will have you craving more. Hasten your return. Cerberus is a single-batch limited-release IPA, and hell hath no fury like a hophead that misses out. Some interesting mixing of metaphors going on there. Are they saying the three-headed... pet of Hades is a woman scorned? Because I'm pretty sure Cerberus was a male. Potentially neither sexual? What would you call that? Asexual? The asexual three-headed dog of Hades? Know what I'm saying?
I don't think that Cerberus is the one that has been scorned here.
It says hell hath no... Wait. Hell hath
like
no
a hophead fury. That misses out.
But it's referencing hell, because Cerberus was... Now, is he the guardian of Hades?
Yeah, he guards the gates to Tartarus.
From anyone getting out, or from anyone getting in? Or just...
Yes.
Stopping everyone?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Ian's got some feedback story. He's currently drinking the Madri Spanish Lager. Sorry, but it's the best I can do it. 20 to 1 in the morning in an airport lounge. Uh-oh. You're that good, huh?
Don't breathe beer.
Careful on the
fingers. I was gonna say I was expecting this one to be hazier.
Did you get it all in?
I did.
I mean, she's thick. She's mad.
She's
thick.
She's thick, but like compared to the haze of the summer day, it's not as hazy.
I'd say that. I think it is, but one is...
appreciate that you hold yours up and we just see your background.
There, look, regard. Well, this one is definitely more amber.
Oh, yeah, no, that's like, it's more amber, but it, like, I can...
That's very interesting.
I can see my fingers on the other side, which was not true.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I do see a few shapeless...
Like, to be clear... Not saying it's not hazy. Mm. I'm surprised that the other one was hazier. What is that flavor?
There's a flavor to this. Say it was going to be hazy.
No, it's true. It didn't, but I don't know. It's an IPA, so I assume. What is that flavor? It's not quite liquid smoke, but it's like almost campfire-y.
Really?
Could just be that I'm after the citrus of the first one.
Oh, hello.
It's like, it's very, I think, malty?
Malty.
Am I tasting malt?
Yep, you are tasting lot of maltiness in there. Malty and aromatics.
It's good.
I'm digging. I mean, I love a malty. So this is what I love in a lot of New England IPAs, I feel.
Yeah.
Where, for the most part, a New England IPA will have a lot more of a malt profile than a hop profile, where as opposed to the West Coast ones are very piney, and they just kind of, they're the ones that are still trying to blow your head off with the hops, which is nice, because in shopping around IPAs, as soon as something says West Coast, I say, that's the one I'm not going to like. But other ones are all sort of saying, we're going to try this other one. It's a New England style. Like, ooh, bring it on. I'll drink six. But this doesn't really go either way. American style India pale ale, but holy cow, that is just
those malts,
very very,
oh, that there it is. Ingredients: water and then organic malted barley.
Yep. And organic,
I guess the other
meat.
One malted barley was the second ingredient on the other one too. I
holy
thought it didn't
cow.
Say malted
barley, wheat, oats barley, and hops.
Oh yeah, but it's malt. So the school days, summer day, it was malted barley, hops, yeast, and then some wheat. This is malted barley, then malted wheat, then malted oats. Yeah, they were malting.
I like how when it tells you the ingredients are barley and wheat, it also says under that the ingredients are barley and wheat.
Or no,
it could contain may contain traces of milk. Ooh, like that.
Oh my gosh!
Ian is also enjoying your new. Yeah. That is first or second performance one. Ian is enjoying your hair.
Dr. Brownstones. Oh, thank you, Ian.
Brownstones 100% all natural lobster meat byproduct.
Oh my gosh. I think I have a video of that one.
I think you do. Oh, yeah, because we tried filming that as a video.
Yeah.
And then my the sound wouldn't work.
No. That one involved, we did it, and I forgot to turn on. I was like, I did a multicam setup, and I forgot to hit record on the main camera.
That was the one. Which had the good sound on it.
Yeah, it was the one set up to do all the audio, and I was,
Why didn't we just do that again? I don't understand. Anyway.
I don't miss my brief foray into thinking I was a videographer.
Man, if I knew someone who, well, actually, that's not true. I do know.
Yeah, you know the people.
I know amateur videographers. The problem is, I need to know amateur videographers who don't want to charge me thousands of dollars for just doing some stupid little project on a Sunday afternoon. That's what I need. I know lots of people that will do it if I pay them, but I need to really bank on my free volunteer bunch of idiots on a Sunday afternoon. You know, here's what keeps me feeling young. I helped, I took a day off work last Thursday. Yes. To help my buddy Patrick, who's been on the show, move into his new apartment. And we
how very 20-something of you.
Oh, he paid us, you know, we had beer and pizza afterwards, and that was payment. And I was like, I'm so young. This is amazing. I'm sweating my face off carrying a couch up a thin thing of stairs. We had to wedge it through the door. Oh my god, the epic tale of getting this couch into the house is outstanding, but we did it. And I'm like, yes, we are still vibrant young men. Look, we can still do this stupid thing and call it done.
The last time I moved, I looked at the price of renting a truck to fill it, and then accounting for some pizza and some beer for people to come. And I realized that it was going to be $50 more for me to hire movers.
And not turn into a puddle of sweat yourself.
Yeah, I didn't have to carry anything.
See, I agree. I fully agree. The one time I've hired movers was for quite possibly the worst situation I've been in my entire life. But it really did teach me a very good lesson. I thought, I'm not doing anything. And
yeah,
this didn't even cost that. And I'm like, they're handing me this is the keys to the lockup. Neat. And it's all in there, and it all got there, and it's no longer in my basement. And I'm like, cool. That. it wasn't even I am a very responsible grown-up now. It was just this, it was like having magical powers. It was like someone had figured out how to go poof, poof. And I'm like, yes, magic. This is wonderful. But what I want to add to that is what you do instead is in order to do that, you hire the movers, and then like the next day you have a move-in party. Because to me, things should be social and celebrated, and you got to show everybody your new place and that kind of thing, which is why
I think you're on, this is at least my third home you're trying to get me to have a housewarming party for, that I've not yet had a housewarming party for.
Correct, yes. And yet, I think an apartment I had, three apartments ago, I moved in.
Was it
that...
the barn?
No, post barn. This was top of the hill in Wolfville. I had just moved out of the house on Basin View. I think you helped me that day. You and my sister helped me that day. And
yes.
We had just put the furniture in, but the carpets had just been shampooed. So we were trying to keep the furniture on like the dry part.
Yes.
And that night was a big concert down the hill. And I offered to host the after party.
Oh my God.
In my wet carpet apartment with furniture stacked against the wall to stay off the carpet. Hear me out. I'm not done. That wasn't the worst part. Not even the worst part. I also had my daughter that night. So while hosting people downstairs, and they were all like, everyone's just playing board games and having a good time, and I got my 7-year-old daughter to bed at midnight.
All right, same day.
And can I just say, that was 10 years ago, and she... upstairs, no, she took it with her. She's got a certificate from her high school, grade 11, for a more than 95% average this term. So, people, parental advice, I don't have much of it, but what you got to do is keep your 7-year-old up late at night, take her to a concert, and then get her to bed during a board game / music after party. Guaranteed good marks right there.
That might
nothing
be
to do with the fact that her mother is 3 times smarter than me. And she definitely got a lot of her mother's brains. But it's, yeah.
This is malty.
It is.
And it's good.
I love it. I think in comparison to the Galaxy, this is the non... There is a little bit of citrus in there. There's a little tiny bit of a zest, but...
I would take this over a Galaxy any day.
So would I personally, but I get where the Galaxy is where...
Oh, yeah.
That's where the money is. Yeah. That's where people buying the IPAs are now. And even to lesser extent,
I appreciate that this is a limited run. But you know what?
Holy crap.
You know what? If I sat down in a restaurant this weekend, I would order the summer day.
Probably because you're trying to... walk home upright.
No, because it's hot and it's summer and you want a little citrus. If it was October, I would drink this.
Are you telling me that on a nice summer's eve, you know, you get a little bit of a breeze? Look, right now the sunset is just so. You couldn't just sit out on the deck and literally just have a stiff glass of ice cold whiskey on the rocks?
I could. In fact, two weekends ago, I did a distillery tour at Ironworks. And I came home with a lot of Ironworks liquor.
Hmm.
It was very good. But this is not that. It's not that.
Why?
It's not
this
enough.
This is mouthfeel. This is body. This is coating... the inside of my mouth with the malt. This is giving me the warm fuzzies on the inside.
Yes. Well, that's where I would cut. It gets the mouthfeel. It gets the warm fuzzies. It's like warming you up. but it doesn't bring the fire of a hard liquor, like where you feel it, you're like, oh, I feel it all the way down. This, there's too much of it for that, because it's not a sipper. It's a whole friggin' glass. This is a loaf of bread.
Let me introduce you to your other can of Cerberus that you also have in the hopper there. Because to me, I can have two. Like,
that one might wait until September. Because you know what's been in my beer fridge for the last month and a half? Variety packs of pale ales.
Because
it's hot and it's summer and I want it to be fruity and refreshing.
So you're assuming that a pale ale is going to be fruity?
No, the variety pack had like watermelon pale ale and raspberry pale ale.
Nine Logs Blondes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Because to me, whenever I would see pale ale, I saw that and immediately equated it to, okay, you're in India pale ale, so you've got that nasty bitterness to you, and then you've just got like you're 1 or 2% lower. So you're a 5.2 IPA. I was proven right, I think, twice. And then I started to find the pale ales that are... I've started looking stuff up on the Canadian Beer Awards, not the...
not the one we just looked at.
Not the Canada Beer Cup. Sorry, Canada Beer Cup. I'm not trying to say that you're not as good as the Canadian Beer Awards, but it is probably...
But Ross doesn't think you are.
There's probably just two. You know, there's probably several beer awards. I can hold some beer awards. Who's winning my beer awards? Oh, one of the ones that's completely gone out of business. That's who. But if you rank everything. I mean, honestly, I try to rank things by category.
To be clear, that's the qualifier to enter Ross's beer cup is, have you gone out of business?
Have you gone out of business? Truro Brewing Company is my brewery of the year because they... Having gone out of business, they can now qualify for Ross's Beer Awards. Pale ales, I looked it up, and on the Canadian Beer Awards, a pale ale is supposed to be more of a malt flavor. It's supposed to be more like a British style, lower alcohol, kind of amber, much like this. It's supposed to taste like this. I mean, this is a 7.5, so just take this, crank it down, and what did I have recently? Lund's Mill. Oh, has one called the Mill and the Malt and the Mill, or the Mill and the Main, or oh man, it was on tap for a while down at Tapestry Beer Bar. Oh, that's what I'm drinking out of. That's my because I don't have a big spruce.
See, I just have the IKEA 20 ounces.
Well done, proper thing.
Because then they've got the little bulge, so I feel like I'm at a pub, and then. They hold all my tall boys. I understand what you're going for, though. It makes sense. It's interesting to me what your assumption of pale ales was, because my assumption on pale ales was actually, it started from my introduction to Paddy's Cream Ale 20 years ago and how much I loved Paddy's Cream Ale. And I just have always assumed that a pale ale will be a thinner version of the cream ale.
Okay. Has that been proven? I mean, anecdotally, mostly, I'm allowing this is a 100% anecdotal, you know,
mostly true in the sense that I'm like, I like to, like, my go-to, I enjoyed the cream ale on a hot summer's day, refreshing, maybe after a sport. And I've found that I like to have some pale ales on hand. More than a lager. Like, I like a pale ale more than a lager. For, like, I'm home from hockey and I'm going to have a beer.
Because it's usually... certain pale ales are lower than 5%, and the body's a little bit lower.
This might shock you. I don't ever check the ABV.
Well, that's just ever. Irresponsible. How are you supposed to...
I drink the things that taste good, and when I care about ABV, I wander up to my gin. And I break out the gin.
I think, oh yeah, we've been having a
conversation. I do like this Cerberus.
And I love this. And I keep forgetting how malty it is because I keep equating it to Galaxy in my mind. I said, oh, it's going to be like a Galaxy. This is like a Galaxy where instead of worrying about the haze and the citrus, you just squeeze the hell out of the malt. And I think this was another one that one of the reasons I'm drinking it in the Tapestry one is I'm pretty sure that my buddy Ian down at Tapestry Beer Bar, 833 Sackville Drive, I think he had it on tap for a very, very long time. 2025 winners.
I like this enough that I'm sad that it's limited run.
But I think it's out every year. This just happens to be the first year that it's available out here in the, you know, the, I want to say the West.
Oh, it is an annual limited release. Okay. Now I don't feel sad again.
I haven't seen it in the LC before, but I feel it's being pushed to the western half of the province where I had a hard time. Now, and that's why I don't have a big spruce glass, is because when I went out that way, they were freaking closed.
The one attempt I made was also, they were closed. Admittedly, that was in 2021 in mid-lockdown-ish, though I didn't expect them to be open.
I went in 2023 on a Saturday at 5:30 p.m.
Damn it. I was hoping not to trigger the retelling of this story. But you have to do it every six episodes, don't you?
I'm so mad!
My favorite part of listening to you tell the story of the return from Cape Breton and the hits and misses of different breweries is that I'm pretty sure you were texting me along the way.
Was I at least updating you along the way?
I don't remember if you were texting me directly or just updating the group chat. But as I hear you tell it, like I was listening to like a March episode 2 weeks ago where you went through this again. And I'm like in my head picturing text versions of your rants, and I'm like, I remember when this happened to Ross.
Session India Pale Ale. Is there not just like a, where's P? Oh, there's like six smoke beer categories. I'm in the Canadian Brewing Awards categories. There's like four pilsners, and I'm trying to find something that just says, Australian style pale ale, international pale ale. And that's just pale ale. So that's not India pale ale. New Zealand style, international style, Australian style, classic Australian style. I feel like this is not exactly what I'm looking for.
Style guidelines.
Yeah.
Wait, am I where I need to be? Beerawardsplatform.com?
Yep. / Canadian Brewing Awards 2025.
Yep.
Okay. That seems to be it for pale ale. The ABV of paramount importance to me is when I'm looking at drinking a couple of beers that I'm unfamiliar with. You got to be careful with those Canadian craft beers. They can bite. Ian constantly complaining about the percentage of Canadian beer being upwards of more than 4.5. American style pale ale. Here we go.
Ian is correct. I just would like to take this moment.
Ian,
you are correct. Your ratings on everything ABV related are correct. Don't listen to Ross. You're on the money.
I might be wrong, but I'm exuberant. So, American style pale ale. This feels more appropriate than the Australian and the New Zealand ones because we live nearer to one of those than the other. Straw to light amber is color, clarity, perceived malt aroma. Low caramel malt aroma is allowable. High, exhibiting a wide range of attributes, including floral, citrus, and fruity. Sulfur? Get out of town. Medium to medium high bitterness. Fruity esters, maybe low to high. Catty? Onion, garlic, piney, resinous. Okay, I don't know anything about pale ales anymore. I've given up.
All right. All I know is that I found... Oh, where'd it go? Did I lose it? I found the beer here that I think is the one that you need to be drinking.
Fine.
The American Style Malt Lager.
That's a thing?
Or malt... Wait, no. Malt liquor.
Oh, hell yes. Which is
Strata Gold in color. It should be clear. Malt sweetness. But... It's 6.3 to 7.6%, which that's, feels like
yeah, maybe
the,
I need
the
to
money
have,
range for
I think
Ross.
I just need to have a Colt 45 night, I think. But so there's a few, and I've seen them around. I've got one in the closet, and there's one available at Horton Ridge Barley Wine, and I want to give those a try.
American Cream Ale. What's this? 4.3 to 5.7.
Is it going to say it's just golden? Cream ale to me is like a slightly...
Cream ale is straw to gold.
It's easier to drink lager.
Yeah, no, I think that checks out to my mind. And in my mind, pale ale is then easier to drink cream ale.
Have you had this?
Yeah, no, I love me some Hellbay.
Because that's, that stuff is just absolutely tasty. I have never found cream ale to be really good because the cream ales that I've tried all seem to be extra bitter, where they seem to double down on the bitter side of the lager as opposed to any other flavor.
You were never a Paddy's cream ale person?
Oh, God, no.
See, I was even a proponent of the Craven.
I was baptized in the Chimney Swift Stout. And it kind of ruined me for a lot of things that they got going there. In fact, ever since, and they keep saying, "Oh, we've got a stout on," and I said, "Nothing's as good. Nothing's as good."
Nope, the stouts have never been the same since they moved off of nitrogen.
They made a new red. And I might have mentioned this to David last week. I may have forgotten too, but I had a conversation with the new brewer. Young Rob, who I call him, who was probably like your age, but whatever.
Didn't you interview him on a podcast like a year ago?
Do you want to know? That was Young Chris.
That was a different Paddy's Brewer.
I need the next when Rob wants to talk to us. I need to email Rob. He is the newest, most recent brewer, head brewer at Paddy's, and I need to ask him if he has any concept of what numbered brewer he is. Out of Paddy's brew prep, because I think he's probably in the teens.
Oh no.
They have gone through some brewing people. Chris,
yeah.
Young Chris, he found himself stuck in the East Coast during the pandemic. He's originally from the West Coast. So yeah. He was pushing some West Coast stuff, but he was making some delicious things. And basically I think he was literally on our show, and we said, "So, do you like it out here? Are you sticking for the long haul?" And he basically said, "The moment I get the opportunity to go back home, I'm taking it."
Yeah.
And he went, "Cool. Hope to hear from you eventually." So he did that. He made the exodus, and now it's Young Rob, who is our age, but I call him Young Rob. I don't know why. Maybe because he's short. That just feels cruel. However.
But
Young
not
Rob
real short.
Was telling That's me that cruel. his first beer that so he's mostly just he's got the recipes and he's making what's there and he's going through the patterns, but he's also
has he scaled back the menu at all? Because the last time I sat down to the pub for a meal, I was kind of overwhelmed by like you have a TV of options, whereas classically, I'm not saying they should have stuck with like these are the six beers, but like I don't know. Do the six classics and a couple, but like the last time I was there, I was like, I don't recognize any of these beers, except for some reason the AVA is still here.
Can I recommend, because when we talked to Chris, he had adjusted the TBA IPA, because it was nasty, maybe like six years ago. Chris adjusted it, brought it up to date, and the new recipe for the TBA, it is deliscious.
Okay. To be clear, I ordered beer. It tasted good. Yeah. I don't even remember what I ordered. But it was one of those things that I found myself thinking, this doesn't feel like Paddy's.
There's a lot. There is a lot. And I feel like there's fewer.
Okay. I'm not saying fewer is the right answer. I just like there's a part of me that was like, I feel like the pendulum swung really far away from, like, for a long time they were like, these are our six beers or
but
whatever.
That's what I mean. I feel like that's happened to all the breweries. Like, if you go,
that's
in,
fair. Yeah.
There used to be breweries and they're like, we've got four. That's it. And now, here's our four, but we've got these brand new eight. And you're like, oh my God, what tastes like the one I like? And maybe Sober Island might be the last ones with like a core four or five, and sometimes an interesting sixth is on the go.
You know, I think that hits my feeling is that it's like, there's like a nostalgia factor of like, what tastes like the thing I know I like? Because, like, me, I go to the NSLC, I go to Westside Spirits, I go to the, like, what, like,
Lund's other Mill. Shops. I tell the story of going to the Wolfville Market, and you go to Lund's Mill, and they've got 20 cans there. 20.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, like, go to a brewery and see their stuff. Like, I find there's an element of, like, today, trying to pick out beers for tonight. You'd given some suggestions, but I was like, I'm going to look at every beer that's on the shelf, and I'm going to pick the two that interest me. Whereas when I go to Paddy's, there's a part of me that's like, I want to feel like it's 2008 again.
I liked the cream ale. I'm going to get the cream ale.
Or the stout or the raven. Like, I'm like,
yeah.
The novelty of blueberries in a blueberry beer.
There's that.
Well, like, there's an element of nostalgia where it's like going to your pub. I feel like that nostalgia is lost.
They don't have the Chimney Swift anymore. The stouts don't taste like I like them. The raven is inconsistent. And I had the inside scoop from young Chris from BC that the TBA had changed. And I loved that. So honestly, I had a free Monday and some very, very talented friends of mine were playing at the Monday open mic. So I went in and I had a couple of 12 ounce TBAs and I was very happy. And Rob, the brewmaster, happened to walk by, so I chatted with him, and he talked about the fact that he'd made an Irish Red in time for St. Paddy's Day this year, and I think I've got a can of that. I don't know. Oh, no. We've got the German lager, the Dortmunder, and I have tried some of that, and it's freaking
good. I think this is my feeling about Paddy's. I think you've hit on it, is that it's like, that sounds great. And I would not even, like, when I had the campfire stout, it was very good. But I'm like, I also would like to walk in and order a Raven or a Chimney Swift stout. Like, I would like to be able to order the thing that I did while you're also trying the new bonkers stuff.
You kind of can. It's still got the old school
that's good.
Stuff.
Because the last time I was there, admittedly, probably 3 years ago. Well, no, we went there. Okay. We went there. But the last time I went there and I actually looked at the menu, because we went to Rosie's because we had to take our children, and they're not allowed out front.
Yeah, they have terrible tasted beer.
Pfft. Yeah, no.
Children.
So I was like ordering off the top of my, I think I had a cream ale when we were there. But like the last time I went there and really took in the menu was probably 3 or 4 years ago. And I was left feeling like, oh, this isn't the place I remember. Which is fine. Time passes. Just Paddy's has such a soft spot for me.
In your defense, I was there 2 Mondays ago, and you know how they've got the TVs up, and for a couple of years, the TVs would have the rotating. Here's an advertisement.
Yeah, they were like,
here's all of our beers.
Which is why I felt like it was a little much, because I'm like, you have so many beers.
They do.
You need a rotating TV to show them all to me.
Okay, so they've gone backwards in time, because you go in and the TVs are broken, or they're not. I don't know what they're showing, but they're not showing what's on the menu. And so because it's been so long of the TV menu, they're like, there's no physical menu. Remember the paper menu, the laminated one, the white one. With like four down one side, four down the other side, and it would give you the thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
No, well, they don't have that anymore because it hadn't been able to keep up with things. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'll have the TBA. I had to start. Is the TBA on? Yeah, I'll have a 12 ounce of that. Boom, and I'm sipping away at that. Rob, the brewmaster, goes by and he says, "Oh, hey, have you tried the, Pisquamish?" the crazy cucumber sandwich pale. I'm like, no, what is that? I looked at the screen. He said, oh, the screens aren't working. I said, Rob, that's your first problem right there. Like, how am I to know what's on? And he said, wow. Oh, so okay, here's the in scoop. To know what's on at Paddy's, you have to sit next to the master brewer who sits next to you. Okay, so that's step one. Step one, because step two is sitting there while asking the server, Chloe, who's behind the bar. You say, oh, Rob's just told me about this one that I have to try. I have to try, you know, can I try the Dortmunder Lager? And she goes, and she's looking at this array of taps in front of her, none of which are labeled, looking behind her at the TV screen, which is broken, looking at no paper in front of her, saying, which one's that? And Rob's trying to say, I think it's this one. He's like, guys, I think this is a mild issue here. I think something's going on. So it's not only difficult to order, it's difficult to serve what people are. No wonder I got dudes I've known for 20 years that I've made fun of because they go to a craft brew pub and order an Olin's Export. But the thing is, when you order an Olin's Export, it's on the label, you know what you're getting. And meanwhile, I'm getting a glass of, I don't even know what this is. This might not have been what she, you know, she's just pulling kind of, hey, try that one. That's third from the right. That's what he said. So maybe it was in the period of flux at the time. But in your total defense, it's a little chaotic trying to get.
You know what, though?
There.
I had a roommate 13, 14 years ago who was prep cook at Patty's. Everything you've just told me absolutely checks out.
Yeah. Ian is suggesting he wants Patty's next beer to be called Bonkers Stuff. May I have a pint of Bonkers, please? Wackadoodle
right.
Hopsicord. The Hopsicords.
We should probably...
Well, that's a band name.
The problem with Hopsicords is when the crowd starts throwing rocks and you have to figure out which note to skip.
I'm not musically smart enough to understand or laugh at that reference.
That was a hopscotch reference.
Oh! No, it's like the, it's like Flight of the Conchords.
So yeah, I'm saying in hopscotch, you throw a rock, and whatever one it lands in, you don't jump on that square. So, mostly I was saying the crowd's going to start throwing rocks at you as the...
Because you think it's a hopscotch reference?
I do. I think there's a hopscotch reference in there.
Hops. Chords. Beer music. I can't call the band the Beer Musics, so I have to go with the Hopsicords.
The problem is you're going to get the hop heads out there that really are into hopscotch.
That's a thing?
You know it's a thing.
It's probably a thing.
I'm gonna look that up.
Oh, dear. Beer lovers who also like
competitive hopscotch.
Well, they're probably all drinking Radlers because it's...
This 7.5 means I can't type reasonably. Also, the fact that the microphone USB cord is right over my keyboard. Hopscotch World Championship.
Here's my favorite part. We're only 1 7.5 in. Sometimes Ian and I have like a couple. So we'd be halfway through our Crazy Angus by now. Are you saying you're not ready to crack that?
Teen Trio to hop over pond for championship jumping game.
None of that sounded like English to me. Do you know what? Going back to the schoolhouse.
The hopscotch team traveled to England this weekend.
I'm glad I saved a mouthful of Summer Day IPA because do you know what? It was still
it's real good.
Tasty. It was still very tasty because it's still on that hazy, citrusy, hoppy side of things.
I've bounced back and forth, and I appreciate them both more. It really does the summer day. It brings that like light citrusy feeling, like it's like bright and like it's refreshing.
Do you know what bugs me about the Cerberus?
I can't even begin to fathom.
Okay, here's the things that it mentions: abundantly bitter, late addition kettle hops, lip smacking dry hop, balanced.
I would not just. I would not describe it as dry.
And that's the thing. This is the deliciously malt-forward IPA that there is, but they don't mention that on the can?
You know what? I do take it back, because originally I did describe it as smoky, which I would associate with my... It's a little dry. Like, that's usually... It's there. But you're right. They don't mention how
such
other
a
than when
earthy malt forward profile. That's it's,
yeah, that's because if you read this, you don't get the malt, but you got to read the vertical stuff where literally every ingredient is malted.
How after a 7.5, how are you going to be able to read vertically? That just sounds challenging.
Turn the can sideways. I'm sure that won't go wrong.
Oh, that's how you read vertically. Okay.
You're supposed to, actually, you're supposed to read it while you pour.
That's good because organic biology. Oh, it spilled everywhere. I'm not so sure about that.
Are we gonna give scores?
I very, very good scores because individually, as
yes,
as
your range goes from 9 to 10. We all know
the session IPA, the summer day IPA, the session IPA. That is top marks for what they're putting out there.
Honestly,
it might be a little strong for a session IPA. I see those numbers usually a little bit further down, like a 4.3 for a session IPA.
They're going to nail the session IPA because it's strong, because it tastes so good, I would keep drinking it.
Yes. The flavor is more there than even a few of the other session IPAs, and we probably need to get into these just to try them out. But I think you're right.
It like hints towards a Radler. Like it's flavorful in that way.
It's juicier than bitter, so I very much like it. Low nines, 9.2 for the session for the summer day IPA from Schoolhouse. I think.
All right.
9.2, 9.
I gotta where do I?
I could be coaxed to a 9.3 for that one.
Have I really never given an 8 on this program?
We have never had beverages that taste good. I don't think it's quite that apocalyptic, but oh my god! But
I have given 2 7.5s, 1 7, and everything else has been between 3 and 6.
Because it's been not very good, and I agree.
School day is an easy 9, and I think the Cerberus is like an 8.5.
I would throw Cerberus higher. Mm, do you know what sucks? I love it. This is a 10 out of 10 for me. But the fact that they got all of their description wrong from the can, they screwed up.
See,
I don't. I'm not going to say they screwed up, but it's.
I'll share what the reason it's slightly lower for me is specifically that the maltiness makes it more seasonal. I don't want that in a summer. Okay. Like, I told you I have another can. I'm probably going to go pick up some more cans. And then I'm going
to...
And I'm going to enjoy them in September and October. Right. Whereas, and this is partially a me thing, A, this is really good in the summer, which it says on the can, which is nice. But this is also the kind of beer that I would really enjoy when I come home at 9:30 or 10 p.m. after playing hockey, and I just want something light and refreshing while I cool down, like that summer day is going to hit it.
Yeah.
So that sort of like slight all year round advantage of summer day means I bump slightly higher. I like them both a lot. They're both very good beers, as evidenced by the fact that they are a full point higher than I've ever awarded.
What is going on? So the NSLC, one, my local NSLC has 48 cans of the Cerberus available, but they're trying to tell me that the flavors are pine, stone fruit, and grapefruit. This is the most maltiest, most delicious, earthy, IPA I have ever had. But since they're not advertising it that way, I can't give you full marks. So
I will say this. Outside of you, Ross, I'm not certain anybody knows that the NSLC describes the flavors of beers.
Am I the only one on their website? Like on a
maybe
hourly
you taught
basis.
Listen, you taught me like 3 weeks ago I could check availability of beers at my local one.
Okay, I tried to invite my friends David and Keir. Keir lives in Wolfville, David lives in Windsor, and I literally checked the availability of beers, and they came back and said they weren't there. And I said, the website tells me that there's 12. I went, I did the thing. I did the thing that I'm supposed to do. And they said, no, they weren't there. And we had to drink something else. And no one had the right thing. Maybe that was a year ago. I don't know. But I can't imagine that their inventory to internet to, like online database has increased in accuracy and capacity has occurred. I love it. I think Cerberus is fantastic. But based on the description that they've got, and it just says, hey, try this organic American IPA. I'm expecting hop blowout, and I'm not getting that. So to me,
it's a
pleasant surprise, but I don't think they're hitting what they're advertising.
Oh my gosh.
What up?
I was going to say, so I just pulled it up on the NSLC. And I noticed that it actually tells me that it should pair well with a barbecue chicken. I was like, oh, hey, that's what it says on the can. And then I remembered that no.
That was the Schoolhouse.
That's the Schoolhouse can. Schoolhouse being the beer that I also described as tasting grapefruity. So I'm like,
did you know?
Do they just have the wrong taste profile for this beer?
Here's my thought. What if this is available annually, this is an annual get together and we make a beer. What if previous years they had made a very piney, grapefruity, hazy, pairs well with barbecue chicken? Is this last year's description?
That could be.
Here's the other thing. Did you know you have met my... one of my inns at Big Spruce. You have met one Steven Heisler.
Yeah, because we went to the Big Spruce beer challenge.
Oh, right, where there. I shouted at him to sing. But I can reach out to Steven.
To be clear, neither of us were very subtle at that event, and I think we embarrassed the people we attended it with.
We did. However, we did not embarrass one Steven, who, as soon as someone prompted him to sing the full Rasputin song... He did so with 100% glee.
Yeah, he gets it.
Did you know that you can click on the flavor profiles on the NSLC site? So I've clicked on barbecue chicken.
Oh, I did not know.
It only showed me the pairings for the Big Spruce Cerberus, or at least.
Wait, does that mean? That is the only beer that pairs well with barbecue chicken.
I'm going to click on appetizers and see what happens. Oh, Two Crows Sunny Destination IPA. Alexander Keith's India Pale Ale pairs well with appetizers. And I can agree to that because
food pairing.
Alexander Keith's pairs well with the Scott Skins from Joe's because both of them make you feel like you just want to die.
Okay, there are five beers that pair well with barbecue chicken. Big Spruce Cerberus. Flying Fish Lemon Flavored Beer.
What?
Hell Bay Dark Cream Ale. What? Moosehead Limeade Mixer. And Nine Locks O'Hearn's Irish Red.
I didn't get that when I clicked on barbecue chicken.
Correct. You don't, because it's the like breadcrumb trail is all the way down to like IPAs that match well. But if you go back up to beer and then reapply the food pairing barbecue chicken filter.
Oh, I see. Oh, you are getting full into this. Chicken wings, barbecue fare.
I was literally trying to, let's see what
blue
beer.
Blue cheese, sushi.
All right. What beer? Boxing Ross Rocks Best English Pub Ale pairs well with a shepherd's pie.
What pairs well with a planked salmon?
You know what? I actually genuinely want to try the Boxing Rock Best English Pub Ale now that I know it exists. Man, I love their stuff.
I had some Vickers Cross the other night, and
I love the Vickers Cross.
I had a hard time finishing.
But that's a
little too bitter.
I like it because it's bitter. But to your point, it's not, I'm not having it any random night. It's like, I'm going to have a Vickers Cross.
I need to do some push-ups and sit-ups this morning if I'm going to have a Vickers Cross tonight. I have to do some calisthenics involved here.
Clear my day and clear tomorrow, and I'm having a Vickers Cross. What the heck? I can only... Okay, get this.
You're getting
Boxing
this.
Rock. Best English pub ale.
Uh-huh.
It's the only beer that pairs well with shepherd's pie, so I said, tell me availability. Only available in the Lunenburg NSLC, and they have one.
Have I told you my story of when your daughter gets into sports, you're into sports, but you're into local sports. She will eventually drag you out, and you will learn the names of towns and villages in Nova Scotia that you never thought you would learn. But when I'm on the South Shore, and she's in a, you know, she goes to her warm-up, and I say, okay, before the game starts, I'm going to go wander around, and I find my way into the local NSLCs, because I say, hey, what's a little different? And down on the South Shore, Bridgewater, Lunenburg, everything is like, hey, we've got so much interesting Boxing Rock stuff down here. And it's all down there.
Yeah.
And I love that regionally you can go into your NSLC and it's like a reminder that there's some craft breweries around. It's pretty cool.
So I'm going to conclude my searching of the NSLC with this. Because I think this beer actually sounds like it might be pretty good. I scrolled down to food pairings and found a food that only had one pairing, which was pulled pork. A food that I've had many a beer with.
Mm-hmm.
However, the only beer that advertises itself as being good to pair with pulled pork is the Heritage Rusty Truck Red Ale. Which is citrus, hoppy, and caramel.
Haven't
and I'm like
had that in a long time, and all I can remember is I was not impressed.
There are 60 of them a kilometer from
down
me.
The street. Well, get the rusty truck, man. Give it a whirl. Give it a try.
I'm gonna. That's one of those beers that I'm gonna buy one just based on its name alone.
Beer that you could drink with shepherd's pie. I need to get some more of this Boxing Rock Best English.
That feels like a beer that I want to do with both you and Ian. Because it feels like, by name alone, it's the kind of beer that Ian's like, this is what I drink.
When something says it's an English pub ale, I love bringing him on because he is even more judgy about it. And that was the follow-up to my Patty story, talking to young Rob, who's made an Irish Red. And then he said, oh, by the way, we've also just put one on, and it's going to be ready to go in like a few weeks. We made a low percentage, like a 4.2 English pub ale. So Patty's is going to have an English pub ale on relatively soon, because that ill-fated Patty's night at the open mic night was a couple of Mondays ago now. But I'm looking forward to that. And we're going to have Rob on here, and we're going to hopefully talk about that. And then I think we've got a couple of other English ales. Honestly, that Boxing Rock can looks really familiar. Is it? Hang on. Basement stash. English. Oh, my God. I've got a can of it in there.
Do you?
Yep.
Do you have more cans of it than the NSLC?
Is one more? Because
no. No, the NSLC has one, so I was just like, if you had two, you would technically have more availability than...
My local NSLC has none.
No, that's what I mean. When I press check availability, only the Lunenburg store has it. And they have one can.
I have as many cans of it as the Lunenburg NSLC. So, yes, that's what's up. But that also means that Ian's got a can of it as well. So if you drove to Lunenburg, you would have the third... in the province. Don't tempt me with a good time.
Listen, I've driven to Lunenburg a number of times in the last 2 weeks, and so that might be worth it. I'm mostly just annoyed that I didn't know a week ago. I didn't know the beer existed. My stance is that
information.
Ever since I had the I've enjoyed a number of Boxing Rock's beers. I enjoy their like mythos of the Boxing Rock. They've done a good job branding. But ever since I had their U889, do you not know of the Boxing Rock U889?
I do not. It is a Imperial Stout. Okay.
And I had it in a like barrel aged.
Yeah.
On tap at Stillwell's like a decade ago.
In fact, I think I might still have an aged. No, we had Fisticuffs. So there's every year they make new Fisticuffs, and I've tried a few of those, and they're pretty interesting. I've got a few sea level aged, barrel aged, whiskey aged, bourbon aged, everything's in there.
The barrel aged U889 on tap at Stillwell's is my benchmark for Russian Imperial Stout.
Okay.
Like, I think the same way you talk about bad apples, the way you talk about that one,
the black
I always picture the, like, I am always thinking of the U889. Okay. And every time I've ever had either an Imperial or a Russian Imperial Stout, since that point a decade ago, I have been chasing the U889.
Here's a measure of our friendship. At Tom's wedding, did I mention to you that the dude behind the bar had some sort of in? I didn't understand it, but he'd figured out a way to get Big Spruce's Serial Killer on tap using nitrous.
You did not mention it to me.
And apparently we're not as good friends as I thought we were. I thought I told everybody that when I came back to my... So I went up and I talked to the bartender for a while. I was trying to find a tasty beer for Big Nose. And the conversation got to everywhere.
You did a good job of. Oh, he's fully hooked on it.
I know.
And that beer is very good. And I really enjoyed the podcast with Good Robot where you talked to them about that beer.
Oh, the El Diablo. Oh, that was a good time. Because we've had that several times. What I loved is when we talked to Cameron. I think Cameron of the C-Bands, who is also part of Big Spruce. One of his suggestions was, so for the Nova Scotia Craft Beer Association, he says, let's have the Diablo from Good Robot. I'm like, hells yeah. We've had it so many times. Yeah. It's so good. But
to me, that's a deeply pandemic beer because Good Robot would do free doorstop deliveries to me in growlers. Oh. And we would do, I forget what beers we would do, but.
Oh, you got into the Oatcake Computer because everyone told me that that was really good. And we had a terrible experience with the Oatcake Computer because Ian left it in his car frozen overnight.
It's okay. Like, it's a fine stout.
Wasn't when we had it, but we think we messed
up. No. Like, to me, Oatcake Computer probably falls onto the ladder somewhere around a Guinness. In that I'm like, if it's on a menu, it's safe. It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not excited about it. I'm not angry about it. I'm like, that'll be a fine stout. But Raquel's not much of a stout person. And in a quarantine situation where opening a growler means finishing a growler, you want a beer somebody else will drink. And so El Diablo quickly became one of our staple orders in a growler.
I'm wondering what of this I should open. Do you have your Crazy Angus there?
No, I don't. I only brought two to my desk.
What?
I'm not drinking anymore.
It's crazy sauce. It's only 9:30. The kids are asleep. All right. I want to thank James for tuning in and being here. One of my oldest friends of the new iteration of me. Take from that what you will. But, do you know what's funny? I got a message from one of my oldest friends, who I've been friends with since grade 10. And he said, hey, our other oldest friend, who they all live all over the place in the world. He said, hey, I heard that he reached out because they're trying to plan some sort of high school reunion thing. I mean, it's been like 107 years and we've never had a reunion and they're finally trying to make one. And I said, yeah.
I think my favorite part of Ross' life is Ross 1.0, everyone moved away from where you grew up.
Yep.
Ross 2.0, all of your friends have now moved to where you grew up.
No, that's, oh God, that's at least four.
Okay, Ross 4.
We got to go through the versions of this one, but yeah, we're on at least 4 points something.
We're currently at a point where there are several people that live in your old stomping
grounds.
And
you all live near my junior high, and it's a little weird, but it's not that weird because...
My daughter is going to go to your junior high.
Ah, but she's not, because...
No, because it will be an elementary school
for
her.
Oh, she's going to the elementary school that was my junior high. Okay.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Your junior high is her elementary school.
Here's what I need you to do. When you go, have you been for like the orientation and everything?
I've been to the junior elementary.
Okay.
Which I assume would have been your elementary school.
It wasn't. It was someone else's elementary.
Oh, you school. Went. Okay.
I was way the hell down.
Hubbard's
trying to tear down my elementary school twice. And they haven't. It's still there. Have I told you the story of how they've replaced the playground equipment with literal giant boulders?
No.
That's a story for another time. So anyway,
you think often of my elementary school whose playground equipment with the, you know, merry-go-rounds and jungle gyms and teeter-totters and all that was on the inside of the bus loop?
Okay.
As in, they paved from the school out, the buses went around, there was no divider between motor vehicle traffic and playground was just on pavement.
I see. You had a school with a bus loop. That's very decadent, I understand.
Listen, I was in a town of like 500, so we had to pull people in from places.
It's true. But so what would be her... elementary, her full elementary, that was where I went to from grade 7 to 9.
Yes.
And it's basically a hallway, no, sorry, a two-leveled hallway, classrooms,
yes.
Gymnasium, cafeteria. It's the most boring school on the planet. However, when you go for
now grade 3 to 5.
So you come in at the front door and you're at one end of the hallway. At the far end of the hallway, where there's, I think, the wood shop and the used to be, you know, the industrial arts were down that left-hand side. There is the only accessible ramp that takes you from the first floor to the second floor. It's at the end of the hallway from the front door.
All right.
In that accessible ramp was where I used to have band lessons. That ramp, that slope was where I learned to play the trombone. When they take you on the tour, just say, hey, how do people get from the first floor to the second floor? Is there an accessibility ramp? And they'll probably tell you that they tore it down in the 90s. And they now have an elevator because they're a very evolved school. But if that ramp is still there, just go in and smell beautiful concrete trombone education. It's something to behold.
I will definitely take that in, especially because what was your high school will be my daughter's junior high.
Yes, because that's up in Five Islands.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then she comes back here for high school.
For Bayview. And Bayview's brand new. It won't be full of asbestos.
And, to be clear,
and
it's not really brand new. Isn't
car
it like
parts in the water fountain.
Isn't it like 20 years old?
Bayview? They only built it. Oh, yeah, probably. It's probably 20 years old. You're right. It will definitely be 20 years old by the time she gets there. But I think... Oh, man. How old am I? I'm wicked old. This is embarrassing. Freaking Bayview. I've never stepped in that school. But
I've driven around its parking lot.
I don't even know what they're calling that. Is the junior high...
2006. It's 19 years old.
Nice. But the high school that I went to, the junior high, is it still called Tantallon?
No, I think it's like Five Islands something.
It's
like
Five it's... Islands Junior, Middle School, Middle yeah. Upper, some kind of just yeah. grade nines.
No, the there's a junior and a senior elementary that are Tantallon.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and
yeah.
those are the two buildings that are next to each other. And like the junior elementary is pre-primary, primary, and one.
Wow.
And okay. then it's 2, 3 no. Yeah, 2, 3, 4 and maybe no, I think it's just 2, 3, and 4 in the senior elementary. And then 5, 6, 7, and 8 are at the Five Islands. Anyway.
If you were interested in St. Margaret's Bay geology, geography, and school systems and whatnot, this is definitely the podcast for you. But I want to thank James for joining me tonight. We did finally have some tasty things that you enjoyed and you picked out Summer Day. So I want to thank Schoolhouse. I want to thank Big Spruce. And honestly, Tanamagush and North for joining and being the other two heads of the dog. I don't know how else to put that for the Cerberus, because that was, I really like that.
It was good.
You gotta update your can, man, because it doesn't taste like that anymore. It's beautifully malty and I love it. We're here every Wednesday night, 8 to 9. Ian might actually be back next week and we'll see what's going on there. We'll get some stories of jolly old England from him. You can find us youtube.com/@drinknsdry. We're drinknsdry and all of the fun social media things like Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok even. Or you can go, or you can find our podcast on the podcasty places, and you can even go straight to the source at drinkns.unsupervised.beer. Somehow I always get all this right. And
it's impressive.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in. And we'll see you next week. Good night.